Lord, He is the Lord. We renounce our apostasia. We renounce our hunas. We renounce the spirit of death, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We proclaim here that we are wounded by the Lord. That we use our life to bring glory and honor unto His name. That our life is dedicated to the advancement of the kingdom of God and the cause of kingdom advance all over the world. Thank you, Lord and Father, that you might increase, that we may decrease. Alpha Kosotoria Laba, Ila Mama Kosotoria, we declare tonight that for the increase of your government, there shall be no end. Ila Mama Kosotoria, we submit ourselves to endless reign. Endless rulership of God over our life and over our soul. Yes. That our soul will be entered into the captivity of God's Lord. Thank in the mighty name of Jesus. And every captivity we enter into captivity. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our soul becomes a captive house of Kuluman because Alaba. In a broken sotonia, as we build our mind unto the Lord, in the name of Jesus, we receive grace now, a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In a mama for so brave again, we declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will surely rejoice and be glad in it. This is your day, O Lord. It is not our day, it is the day of the Lord. It is the day of the rule of Christ. In a mama for so story, alaba. For the increase of your government, there shall be no end. Ela makatade li broko de seko turianda bakatataya. Ela makatobo kunjase kida mando kuskutia. He shall rule and reign forever and ever. Ela makatobo Lord, we set ourselves in agreement with the truth of God's law, that the kingdom of this world will soon become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. That it will rule and reign forever and ever. Oh, that as soon as we feel all things everywhere and every way. That is the spirit of knowledge of the Lord will cover the land as the water covers it. That the spirit of ignorance will enter into bondage in the name of Jesus. Instead of ignorance of God, we are having understanding of God, perfect understanding of God, the spirit of illumination, that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That which we do not know, you cause us to know. You will show us the most great and mighty things. Even that which our forefathers don't really know. Because there is a new covenant, we will make it up for that thing. So we take your word and put it into our hearts. Oh, have your way, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have the way, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This is your day. This is your temple. This is the floor of the house. Yes. No enemy can steal the show from you. Have the way, Holy Spirit. Do as you choose and as you want. This is your house. This is your house. This is your house. This is your house. Hila Mama Kosotoria. Satan is exposed. He number for Satan is enthroned, and God is enthroned in his house. He's taking preeminence over all things. In the name of Jesus, Salabakanda Kasa, Iyakatabakaka, Iyrobokotekaseka Rabakandikasi, Oh, Renegade Mandosi Alabakikasi, Solo de Sekabakosopakadiasa, Oh, Risto Kalabakikasa. Hallelujah. Resto calaba, mettere bobo, tata la la papa papa. E recata da papa, troppo se calaba papa. E la papa cataya, Adonai,
we worship.
All the spirit will lift you up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, how excellent, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. Oh, how excellent is your name. Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
How excellent is your name. Oh,
come on, let's put our hands together for you tonight. It's a place of peace. It's a Lord of Lords. It's a help for God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's the King among you. Lord, we praise you. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory, power, and dominion. Belongs unto you. Lord, we worship you tonight.
Blessed
be our exalted, O Lord.
Blessed be
in Jesus' name we worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. In a very special way, we want to welcome you to this Love Couples Life tonight. And I believe God is reaching you right there where you are. Because geographical location cannot be a limitation in the spirit. And I believe that He is the omniscient God. He is also the all-sufficient Lord of glory.
Amen.
God is making all his all-sufficiency available unto us right there at the doorstep of our house. And I believe that God is visiting us tonight in a very special and unique way. And I want to promise you by the special grace of God, that you be edified as you listen to His word tonight.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. We exalt you, mighty God. We glorify your name. Ancient of Days, Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lily of the Valley, the Bride and
Mother. Hallelujah.
Praise you. Thank you.
Walking in divine obedience.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we've been on these for more than 8 weeks now. And we begin to see the need for us to cultivate a life of obedience if we actually want to see the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose in our lives. God is waiting on you and I to grow up in the spirit and begin to have perfect understanding of what He's trying to work out in our lives. That's why I've always been of the opinion that understanding will play a great role in this last move of God. There's need for us to have understanding of God. The Bible says there is nothing that is hidden from the one to whom we have to do. When you are dealing with someone, there's need for you to understand that person too well so that you'll be able to go on together. Praise the name of the Lord. But what I see today is that most believers don't have understanding of God. And the Bible says in all your guessings, you have to get understanding. Praise the name of the Lord. And I pray that this is the season whereby God is releasing no supernatural understanding to us so that we can begin to understand His purpose and His plan for our lives. The Bible says, be not unwise, knowing what the will of the Lord is. One translation says, understand what the will of God is. When you have understanding, you'll be able to flow along with God, and the devil will not be able to take advantage of you. And my prayer for you tonight is that the devil will not take advantage of you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray that you gain understanding from God, so that from the position of truth and the position of spiritual understanding, you can begin to push back the adversary and sending packing out of your life and disconnecting, cut off his hand from everything that has to do with God's purpose, plan, and your destiny as an individual. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that means for us to learn the heart of obedience. We've got to learn the heart of obedience. The Bible says, Jesus, he learned ye obedience through the things that he suffered. He learned obedience. I discovered today that most believers want impartation without going through the process. What makes the impartation to come upon our lives is when we submit our mind for the process. Praise the name of the Lord. That is when God begins to inscribe some things on your heart, because you have exercised yourself in godliness. The Bible says when you exercise yourself in godliness, it's a profitable thing for you to do. And most times, people don't really know how God is Christ on the stepping stones of our heart. That is when we begin to step into the true experience of God. As we step into the true experience of God, it will strike an impression in your heart. And, you know, it will entrain, you know, certain realities of God into your heart. Just like you having certain experience in life. Those experiences of life that you have, they are no longer letter, they have become a life experience. And those life experiences, they are the things we call the impartation of the Spirit. You see, you must see that God is the custodian of these things, and the Holy Ghost is the administrator of this truth of God that we are dispensing unto you. Praise the name of the Lord. So there are times to go through things in our life, and God, as a result of things we've been through in our life, experiencing God, you know, and exercising ourselves in godliness, God wants to inscribe some things on your heart. Praise the Lord. There are things that never leave you. Just like the inscription, you know, on a coin. You understand? On a coin. You understand? Is there something that is inscribed on that thing? The same way God wants to inscribe some things on your heart. That is why you must not judge the process. People who dodge the process, they cannot have the hand of the Lord upon their life. Paul said, I have in my body, you know, not on, in my body, the marks of Jesus. The hand, the writing of God, the inscription of God, the signature of God in my heart. I've stepped it on an experience that I can never forget in my life. You know, there are things, you know, we just go to church. We come in and we go out, but we never step into this experience of God. And I want you to know that one of the things the Holy Ghost is doing this end of the year is that he really wants you to step into the true experience of God in your life. So this will bring the inscription of God into your heart. Glory to God. And you will never go in a wrong direction any longer, because you have gained certain understanding in the Spirit and certain things have been inscribed on your heart. He said, I will take my word and I will put. I will inscribe. The way God puts, it's not just by the ministration of the word in terms of, you know, quoting the scripture and all of those things, you understand? But as we begin to exercise ourselves in godliness, God is taking this word, because you are doer of the work. You understand? God begins to inscribe it on the table stones of your heart. This is what will hold your heart together. You know, things you've seen in the Spirit, things you've handled in the Spirit, there's a way those things have control over your life. God does not want to lead us from the outside. God wants to lead us from the inside. That's why he wants our soul to be exposed, you know, to the heat, you understand, of reformation. I call it the heat of reformation, because that is a crossroad in a man's life where a man's life begins to take a different direction and he never reverts back into the flesh. You see, if you are yet to step into that experience, there's possibility for you to revert back into the flesh. Okay, let me use this example. The example in the life of Peter. Jesus said to Peter, he said, you are going to deny me tonight. He said, no, if everybody does, he says, I'm not going to do that. There's no way Jesus could convince him. Glory to God. But at that moment, that critical moment, after he had denied the Lord 3 times, and the cock crowed, you understand? And after the cock had crowed, you understand? I mean, the cock crew, you understand? And he, the Bible says, he remembered the word of the Lord, and he wept. And Jesus had said to him, he said, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He said, when you come back, he said, strengthen your brethren. In other words, the way God will strengthen the fabric of our soul most of the time is for us to step into certain experience of God. Glory to God. And it is from that position that we begin to administer the truth to all other people. Because we've come to a place of authority in God. You understand? Praise the Lord. You know, he says, strengthen your brethren. You see, most times we do not realize that God will not set us up for defeat. He has set us up for victory. He has actually set us up for our ministry. He has really set us up, you understand, for our life purpose and the fulfillment of our destiny, but we do not even know. Because we are not aware of this and we are ignorant, you know, of the intentions of God. You know, we used to misunderstand the dealings of God in our life. And I wanted to know that when people are stepping into that experience, his life never remains the same again. He can never come back to the level that he was before that experience of God. And at a point in his life, after he has received the Holy Ghost, to see that experience of God, you understand, see, this guy, they refuse to be a coward. They are no longer behaving like, you know, like a coward any longer. They are ready to die for the Lord. At the point when they were arrested, the Bible says they were rejoicing, you understand, that you know, they partake of the suffering of Christ. You know, and their enemies were looking at them. These are the guys who were running around. These were the guys, you understand, who will not want to associate with Jesus. But they step into certain experience of God in their life that brought an inscription into their heart, and they began to tell those people. They said, listen, he said, who do you think we are to obey? To obey you or to obey the law? He said, we cannot but say those things we have heard and we have seen. Praise the Lord. You see, that's the way God wants to establish us in his work. That's the way God wants to establish us in the path of purpose and destiny. So those guys, you know, why is it that Peter could come out at that point and he could face those guys? He said, I have an inscription in my heart that I will not do anything that is detrimental, you understand, to the inner consciousness and reality of God within my soul. So there are experiences of life in our walk with God as we begin to exercise our self-godliness that is bringing about the hand of the Lord upon our lives. Because God is literally, by the Spirit, inscribing some things on the tablestones of your heart, just the way he wrote on the tablet of stones in the days of Moses. So God is saying the same thing, a new covenant I will make with them on that day. Glory to God. You understand? See, that is where the reality of the love of God begins to dawn on you. Glory to God. The reality of the severity of God will begin to dawn on you. You understand? God begins to put his Holy Spirit within your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. And I pray that will be your experience in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, there are things, you know, that you will never go into those things in your life. Why? Because it is God has become a living reality in your soul. Hallelujah. You put God in your life. You have experienced God in your life. You understand? And what the devil brings across our path most of the time, you know, they come in form of attack on our head. You understand? So when the devil attacks you in upstairs, you understand, you've got to, you know, open up your heart and see how much of the resource of God that you have within your soul. You know, where we fight the enemy is not just in our head, it's from our heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Those experiences of God will make us to become an immovable champion. Glory to God. We are unstoppable, you know, people. You understand? We carry an unstoppable mentality because there's a reality within our soul. Look at the life of Paul, for example. He has stepped into certain realities of God in his life that people, he wasn't afraid of death any longer. He said, my own life means nothing to me again. If those things does not really matter to me, only one thing matters to me, that I will finish my race. So nobody will convince him to do otherwise because he has stepped into that reality in his life. That is flowing from his heart. It's from, so not from his head. Because if you are going to put your head, you understand, you know, you're going to approach your head for consultation and say, well, whether it is good or whether it is right or wrong, you understand, your head is going to tell you that, well, this is not good for me because I always like something that is sweet and comfortable. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, the love of God in the heart of these people makes them to be able to come around and say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I pray that you step into such experience of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, that's why he wants to bask in you the spirit of continuous obedience in his plan and his purpose for your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Why? Because obedience has brought some of us to where we are today. By obeying the truth of the gospel, we are born again.
Amen.
But our walk with God does not terminate, you know, at the salvation point. You know, there's a place for progression and continuity in the plan of God. God's plan is to bring many sons unto glory. God's plan is to continue to show his love and dispense his love and shower his love on us by making us to become a sharer of his divine nature. So that's somewhere God is taking us to. Praise the name of the Lord. And you must be aware of it. And that is the place we call the place of his fullness for our life. The fullness of God's plan for our life. See, you are going to meet a lot of believers. They are born again. You know, you may even be present the day they gave their life to Christ. I said, no, they came out for the altar call. You see, they actually gave their life to Christ. They took the sinner's prayer. They said, Lord, I believe the gospel, that Jesus died for my sins and he rose for my justification. He said, therefore, I am saved. According to the scripture, I believe. But they did not follow it up. You see, how are you going to know this? You understand? Because they thought that salvation point is a terminal point. That is the point at which you stop obeying God in your life. You're going to see this reflection in their character. You're going to see the way they live their life. You're going to see the way they conduct themselves in the house of God. Then you know that these people are not growing in grace. They're not progressing in the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Paul was saying in the book of Hebrews, and he said to the church, he said, when you ought to be teachers, he said, you need somebody, you understand, you know, to feed you with, you know, with meat when you ought to be teachers. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, he said, henceforth, be no more children. Ephesians chapter 4, rather, he said, henceforth, be no more children, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Glory to God. So that's a point whereby we remain to be a spiritual baby. We remain a babe as a believer. We are unskillful in the word of righteousness. We are not progressing in the things of the Spirit of God. And it's all over us because it's always reflecting in our character. The way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves is an evidence that we are not changing. We are not moving from glory to glory. We are not exiting the place where we are and transiting to a new position in the Spirit. So that's a place for movement in God. That's a place for movement in God. In the book of John chapter 1, the Bible says, as many as received him, he gave power to become sons of God. It shows there's something God really wants to make out of our life. Praise the name of the Lord. There's something God really wants to make out of our life. Peter, you understand, was called by Jesus. He loaned Jesus. He gave his boat out to Jesus to preach. After the preaching engagement, you understand, and the crusade, Jesus said to Peter, he said, you should throw your net into the sea. And Peter had a very big catch. And that was the entry point for Peter to come to enroll as one of the disciples of Jesus. And he said, come, follow me, and I will make you. Glory to God. But you are going to see a lot of things in the life of Peter, even after he had decided to follow Jesus. At the point, he was the one taking side with the devil and against the plan of God for Jesus. So irrespective of you following the Lord, you understand, if you are not growing in grace, you are not moving on, you are not, you know, you are not being built up by the word of the Lord, you understand, the devil still has a kind of leverage over our life. Praise the name of the Lord. So you're going to see these exemplified in the life of Peter. You're going to see progressive obedience to God brought into a place of maturity. You see, See, when God calls us to obey Him, that doesn't mean there are no times whereby we begin to say, "Oh God, I don't think this is possible. I'm not going. I may not be able to do this." But at the end of the day, we still come back and say, "Lord, I'm ready for Your word. I'm ready to do Your will. I'm ready to." That's the way God is going to lead us from where we are and take us to where we are supposed to be in God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to cite this example from the from the book of. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to cite this example from the book of 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. The Bible says, have to your faith, virtue. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I read from verse 4. Oh, okay, let's read from verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, it's painting a picture unto us from this scripture that we are going somewhere. Glory to God. God, brought us out from somewhere and is taking us somewhere. Just like the story of the church in the wilderness. You understand? You're going to see that God brought them out of Egypt because He wanted to take them to a promised land. A promised land now is not a geographic location, it's a geographical location. A promised land, you understand, is a personality. A promised land is a person. A promised land is Christ. That's where God is taking us to. That's why you're going to see in the book of Romans chapter 8, He said to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And it's clearly highlighted in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, you understand, you begin to see it clearly that, there's a stature of the Son of God there. That's the place God is taking us to. God has given the fivefold ministry for that purpose, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Till we all grow to the fullness of the stature of the Son of God. Till we all grow. So we are going somewhere. You understand? That's why it is not, you see, obedience does not terminate at the point of salvation. I am born again now. That I have everything to myself. If you are going to progress in God and reach the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul, you understand, then you must learn what continuous obedience is. Glory to God. It's something that you've got to master, the heart of continuous obedience in God. Amen and amen. Let me go read this scripture. He said that it's in the word through law, verse 5. I'm deciding, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence, heart to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. In other words, if you are not progressing in faith, you understand, you become, an impotent Christian. You cannot discharge the responsibility of your ministry. You cannot make your calling an election, a thing of reality. The Bible says you make that person be unfruitful and barren Christian. Glory to God. It's not a productive Christian. He said, but he that lacketh this thing is blind and cannot see afar off. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old thing. He's blind. He cannot see what is ahead of him. You understand? And he has forgotten where God brought him out and where God is taking him to. That's a clear picture to us. He has forgotten where he's coming from, and he had no idea about where he's going. So it's a clear picture. We are going somewhere. So God demands continuous obedience, taking a step after God. You understand? On a continuous and a consistent basis. Therefore, the rather brethren, keep diligence to make your calling and election sure. Glory to God. Keep diligence to make your calling and election sure. You understand? To make it sure, really, make it a thing of reality. Glory to God. So that God will be glad that He has called you. So that God will be glad, you understand, that He has set you apart for His purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For soul and entrance, it's also guarantee your success. and salvation in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Therefore, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are obeying God on a continuous basis, he said, it guarantees the certainty of your eternal salvation. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want us to go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Because there's something we are building this truth around in our lives. And when we have the understanding of this, you understand, it goes a long way to facilitate a life of continuous obedience in our life. Philippians chapter 2. That was the text we actually, you know, pick, you know, this dealings of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to read from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any boldness of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is my being you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See, I said that word, death of the cross, because that's the key to spiritual authority in the spirit. And we've been emphasizing that in the course of this series of teaching, where we're talking about the message of the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, you know, he became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. You know, because a lot of people thought that obedience to God means, you know, when the pastor says in the church, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. You understand? Good mayor, friends down, shaking together, running over. And when you give in the church, the word is an act of obedience. And I believe it goes more than that. It goes beyond that. Praise the name of the Lord. It goes beyond that. He's talking about, you know, he's talking about living a life of self-denial. He's living a crucified life. Paul said, I die daily. You've got to learn to die to something. You know, we are obedient to God, but yet we are not ready to live a life of self-denial. And God said, see, there is no way, you know, the fruit of your salvation can really come to full bloom, you understand, until you begin to step aside for God. Until you begin to die to the old, the new will not begin to manifest in your life. You know, to give way to the newness of the Spirit and the workings of God in the life of Paul, he said, I die daily so that there may be life in you. He said, so that the life of Christ can be made manifest in my body. So you're going to see a lot of believers today. Their obedience do not go beyond the level of church, you know, punctuality in church, you know, coming on time, being engaged in one activity or the other, and all of those things, you understand? But you're going to see that they are not ready to let go on anything. They are not ready to sacrifice anything because of anybody. They still seek their own interest. They put themselves as number one and God as number two. You understand? They are still living for self. And that's why you're going to see in Romans chapter 12, you know, after all the things God has blessed the church with, you understand? Paul was begging the church. He said, I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, to present yourself unto God as a living sacrifice. It doesn't matter the kind of service you render to God. If you don't, you know, first obey God at that point, you understand? You are disregarding the order of God. You understand? You cannot serve God through the flesh. The flesh got to die. Glory to God. There's no man who can, from his carnal nature, bring anything to God and that will be acceptable unto God. It can't be acceptable unto God. Carnal nature must die because there's a sentence of death on the carnal nature. Paul said, there's nothing good that dwelleth in thee. Body of man. He said, what a wretched man. You know, we are not bringing to God from our wretchedness, But we are bringing to God from the newness of the spirit.
Praise the Lord.
So we are dying for our whole position. So we are going to see today that a lot of people, even who do serve in the church, they are not obedient to God when it comes to this area. So that when you are reading the scripture, and the Bible is talking about the children of disobedience, to understand what God is saying. That doesn't mean that they don't come to church regularly. That doesn't mean that they don't pray. That doesn't mean that they don't read the Bible. That doesn't mean they don't go on evangelism. But let God and heal you between you and those people. They will tell you, they will insist on their rights, they will insist on their way. They are not ready to let go of anything. You understand? They are living a safe life. And you see, all over them, the law for self-realization and law for self-preservation. You understand? You're not going to see all of those things on them. You understand? The loss of the flesh is not there. I mean, the loss of the flesh is still raging in their lives. Glory to God. That's what the Bible says. Through the cross, we escape the corruption that is in the world through our law. You see, they still live, you know, after their sensual desire. Glory to God. That's the reason why you're going to see today. We are trying to do the things of God, you know, according to our own personal desire. Listen to me, there is a difference between your desire and God's desire. That's why we've got to learn to do it according to His desire, according to His plan and purpose. You see, most of the time, you're not going to see anything wrong in this. But God said, you are still doing it in your flesh. That's the way you want. That's not the way I prescribed. I prescribed that you should do it. Look at the story of King Saul in the Old Testament. It's a perfect example. You know, understand? He said, go and destroy the Amalekites. And look at what this guy did. Understand? He said, I want to use these things as a sacrifice. And they know. Because the obedience is better than sacrifice. Why? He has a problem with his reputation. He has a problem with, you know, some of these, you know, inferiority complex. He has a problem with, you know, all of these things. He could not even manage his life. No. He didn't have a good grasp of his personal identity and, you know, the understanding the grace of God that is upon his life as the king in the land. You know, he was afraid of the people. You understand? And he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to become dishonorable in the sight of the people. Why? You understand? He's coming at loggerheads with God's instruction for his life. And God said, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I believe this is the rule of the game in the New Testament. Glory to God. There's nothing you bring to me from yourself and by yourself that will ever be acceptable unto me. He said, what I want is what I want. And that's the place where we have struggled with that. I said, God, what is wrong with this? Is there anything wrong about it? He said, no, that is not the way I want it. That is from you. That is not from me. Praise the Lord. So until we are ready to yield ground and change our whole position, you understand, and begin to submit totally unto God, there's no way our sacrifices can be acceptable unto God, even our service unto God. So in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. He said, this is your reasonable and acceptable sacrifice. I mean, it's a call to a life of obedience. And obedience, no, to death. Death of the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. That is what I call a life of obedience. And this is not just what we do in the church, but this is what we will do in our closet. And those who are obedient to death and death of the cross, you understand? You see, this thing is clearly reflect in their life when they come to the church. They are the people that carry the anointing, they carry the grace. You understand? You see, a lot of people claim, people don't even have their eyes to discern what the true grace of God is. Glory to God. It's not all about this, you know, charismatic, you know, jamboree that we do all over the place. You may be gifted and talented, but you lack the grace of God. He says, it's a testimony of the grace of God that is upon the church of Macedonia. You see, this is a grace-filled church. Jesus is raising a grace-filled church. Hallelujah. That's why you're going to see that people are even ready to fight in the church over some evil. Praise the Lord. No matter how gifted and talented they are not going to give ground and say, no, you are cheating me, and I'm not going to take that from you. I know this, a lot of arguments, a lot of things. And somebody could just say, well, I accept. You understand? And before the tension will just come down, it shows that we are still in the flesh. Glory to God. So what God really demands from us, he said, why can't you do this to one another? Why can't you do this? The rule of the game is this. Whatever steps you are going to take in life, you are doing it to honor the Lord. Jesus obeyed. You understand? Unto obedience, Jesus obedience unto death, even the death on the cross, is not to honor the devil, it's to honor the Lord. and discredit the devil. Because the devil, I've never seen that kind of obedience before. I tell you, that is one thing I want to use the church of this century to do for him. To show forth the many-sided wisdom of God to show the magnificent power. To prove to him that we have stepped into certain reality, we have the scripture of God in our heart, we can never revert back into the flesh. Even though he slay us, yet we are going to trust him. Whatever thing we are doing it to honor the Lord. That's why you're going to see people go through difficult times in their life and they're still rejoicing. You're going to see that, you know, they're going through trying period in their life. They're still giving glory to God and say, God, what is important is what you want to work out in my life. Praise the name of the Lord. Because these are property of, you know, eternity with God. Glory to God. And the place to acquire those divine properties is here. If it's not in heaven, you get there, then you bring it on. No. Everything you need, you are going to buy. Buy the truth now. You're going to buy all of those things. And that's what we are using our faith to get from God. That's why, without, if you don't have a strong confidence in God, there is no way you can obey the Lord at this level we're talking about. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, there are a lot of things we do in church today. It's very, very easy for us to do. Then of that, I see people who are rebels in the kingdom of God. They're not going to see any sign of humility in them. They're going to see the sign of arrogance. You understand? Even when they do the giving that they give, you understand? You're going to see they do it arrogantly. I've seen people before, you understand, who will not come to the church and just send their tithes and just send it. They say, go give it to the pastor, hand it over to him. You know, let him count it by himself so I can know how much I want. You're going to see arrogance right off there. You know, and God said, no, this is your flesh. You understand? And listen to me, in the New Testament church, in the apostolic church, in the flesh has no place. We clip the wings of the flesh. Glory to God. That's why you see Paul begins to use some language that people don't understand. He said, those things does not mean anything to me. Those things does not really matter to me. It is not, you know, the abundance of the man's possession that really determines his true worth in the spirit. God is using those to clip the wings of some people, you know, so that, you know, the arrogance that comes to their flesh, you understand, will not take dominance over their life and destroy the works of their hands. Praise the Lord. And God said, no, why not do it in a humble way? When you humble yourself before the Lord, you are honoring the Lord. You are honoring the Lord. Not, most times people think that we are foolish. We are not foolish. But we are ready to be fools for Christ. You understand? Well, because we are obedient unto God. Even on the obedience unto death, even the death on the cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, we just want to stay there. Paul said, I glory in nothing else but the cross. Glory to God, because this cross make a new man out of my life. Behold that God. I've become a new creature. I'm alive unto God. I'm just obedient unto God. I don't care what my flesh is telling me, because your flesh is going to come and tell you. And say, no, don't you see what people are feeling about you? Don't you think people are going to insult you? Don't you see people are going to ridicule you? Don't you see people are not going to respect you? Don't you see this are not going to... He made himself of no reputation. Hallelujah. You know, in order to honor the Lord with his life. I think it's the dimension of obedience that this God is talking about. This is a dimension of obedience that God wants to really bring us to as sons and daughters of God, so that we will not run our race in vain. Praise the Lord. So that at the end of the race, we will not be called, you know, we will not be asked to step aside. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
And this is the emphasis, you know, and this is one of the things we are building around in the course of this series of teachings. And therefore, God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name. I know God is going to exalt you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you humble yourself before the Lord, God will exalt you. Remember the story of David. You understand? Why he was dancing. You understand? And what can his wife say? He said, look at the way the king was trying to, you know, dance dishonorably before all these palace girls and all of this. You know, he said, not like the days of your father Saul, who was full of pride and arrogance. Worship of God has moved to another level in the spirit. You understand? We are not here to, you know, to be deified. We are not here, you understand, to worship our own personality. We are here to worship the God who has made us. He said, and he made a statement that really shook me. You understand? He said, you know, this thing you think I'm doing, and it's very ridiculous. That's what God is going to use to honor me in the sight of these people.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's what I call authority in the spirit. When you abide in the position of death, you understand, that's when you can release your sin. When the attitude of God, you understand, begin to flow through your life, that's what we call divine authority. That's why the word authority has to be defined from the apostolic perspective. It has to be defined from the truth position, because people don't know authority. Some people think spiritual authority is someone who comes to the church and bully on everybody. It's someone who comes to the church and walks arrogantly. It's someone who comes to the church and gives money more than everybody, but this is spiritual authority. It's someone that wears a different kind of gown, you understand, and a collar, and he has a bishop's title. His title is not synonymous to authority in the spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How you are going to know authority in the spirit is this, you understand? He's a man who can control in the spirit. The man who cannot be defeated by the devil. When they came to arrest Jesus, you understand? He knew that if he has, you know, if he has displaced those guys, there is no way the work of redemption can be perfect. Glory to God. And he said, you know that I can call down legions. You understand? But Jesus handed himself over to those people. Nobody forced him. You understand? He handed himself. He said, we are looking for Jesus. You understand? He said, here am I. You don't even know him. You don't even recognize him. He handed himself over to them. And Bible says, immediately he said that, he just fell under the power. So he said, come on, rise up. Here am I. I've been with you in the temple. You can do nothing. But this is your time. It's the hour of darkness. But hereafter, the Son of Man shall be glorified. You understand? That's what I call authority. Being able to manage your life, you understand? Having the attribute of self-control, having power over power. That is authority. So, you know, God, I've seen pastors that when people are rude to them in the church, and then they go to court them. You just got authority in this. You're not releasing authority. You understand? You're not releasing authority. What I'm talking about, when, you know, when someone provokes you, you understand, and you are releasing the love of God. Glory to God. When you begin to love those who hate you, those who have despitefully used you, you understand, you begin to pray for them. You are releasing authority. That is authority in the spirit. And if you don't abide in the position of death, you don't obey God, you understand, you know, following the pattern of Jesus in obedience unto death and death on the cross. You understand? I obey God. You want me to give money? I'm going to give you though. If you want me to come to the church very early in the morning, 5 o'clock, I'll be there. If you want me to, people can do a lot of crazy things. They are religious people. Listen to me. The cross is what really brings you into the full art of Christianity. This is the time to really flow in the and dive in the ocean of life. Praise the Lord. That's what I call authority. When your husband provoke you at home, you understand? And instead of you talking back at him, you say, God, I can submit. That doesn't mean you don't know what to do. You can begin to tell him the history of his life, begin to tell him the history of his family, how you have helped him, you know, to become somebody in life, how you stood by him, how you have done, you begin to tell all of those things. That is authority in the spirit. Glory to God. And look at a man who cannot exercise authority or control over his own life. How can he be in control for God? Glory to God. He has lost every sense of restraint. He cannot pull his body under. Glory to God. That's not authority. And when we are obedient unto death, even death on the cross, people say we are stupid. We are not stupid. We are only daily presenting ourselves unto God as a living sacrifice. I love that word, living sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice. Glory to God. It's a living sacrifice. And if a living sacrifice is going to stay on that same spot, even when it's to be beaten and battered, then it must be a certain reason for him. Glory to God. And when you know the reason, you can go through the season. Praise the name of the Lord. It's all for good. It's all because of your future in God. Amen and amen. It's because you've come to the realization that you are going somewhere in God. Your final bus stop is not church. It's not a denomination. God has not called us to denomination. God is taking us somewhere beyond this solitary life. Hallelujah. And our relationship does not terminate here on earth. Our relationship with God does not terminate here on earth. It transcends from this life to eternity. Glory to God. I'm going somewhere. I'm not like people who don't have a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people go astray. They can afford to do what they like. But what I'm seeing is what is making me to do what I'm doing. Praise the name of the Lord. And you're going to see a type of living sacrifice in the story, you know, the story of Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham brought Isaac, you know, before the Lord, and he said, my God, he said, where are we going? He said, we are going for sacrifice. He said, where is the animal going to use for sacrifice? He said, the Lord shall provide. Hallelujah. And this is the knife. This is every other material for sacrifice. This is the firewood. But where is the sacrifice? Definitely, his brain will tell him, I said, where you are, the likely sacrifice. Praise him of the Lord. You know, but the guy sees too. And you're going to see something about Abraham in his obedience to God. The Bible says, he reasoned that God is able to raise the dead. Even if that guy died, your God can raise him. He'll raise him. You understand? You see, some of us think that walk with God is something that makes us to throw away our reasoning away. You understand? God is only saying, reason along with me. Don't just reason in the flesh. Don't reason away. Don't try to, you know, to rationalize things away. You understand? Don't try to just explain things away. You understand? Reason alongside of my ability, of my potency, of my omnipotent power, of my strength and grace that I can make available unto you. Praise the Lord. I said, this is a type of a living sacrifice. Because the man was traveling from a long distance and God said, I will teach you. And he had the opportunity to change his mind. He never changed his mind until he reached Moriah. And God said, well, now this is the month before you. Now go sacrifice the boy. He took his dagger. He wanted to literally kill the guy until the angel of the Lord stopped him. I said, no. He said, there's a ram that is tied in the thicket. He said, Abraham, now I know. You understand? Now I know that you love me. Glory to God. Because this someone who has really made up his mind, you understand, to do the will of God. That's what God really want to bring out. That's his obedience. When he has the option, he has the opportunity to lead the other way. Praise him the Lord. You see, God will never force his will on any one of us. Glory to God. But God, you know, has given us that kind of privilege and we must not abuse it. God has chosen us as a vessel through which he can manifest his grace, through which he can manifest his presence and his reality on earth. You know, we are not just a tool in the hand of the Lord. We are the vessels of honor in the hand of the Lord. God has used, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. You understand? And he said, by the mercies of God, we have received this ministry. Therefore, we think that it's a privilege. You just want to put yourself in us so that you can just give your life to us. You only want to find expression through us. Praise the Lord. And when we come to time to the realization of this truth, you understand, we will not choose the other option. We are not under obligation to obey our flesh. We are under obligation to obey the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So we all have the options in our lives. You know, there are times when you are faced whether to forgive that person or not to forgive that person. To take vengeance on that person or not to take vengeance on that person. You understand? You know, you have all the you can deal with that person and that person become miserable in the next few hours. You understand? But you chose not to in order to honor the Lord. Hallelujah. That is obedience. You understand? Praise the Lord. You are presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Listen, some people think that what God is talking about is something you do on Sunday. You present yourself to God on Sunday. No, it's something you do on a daily basis, hour by hour, minute by minute. You know, I come to this as a living sacrifice. Because a living sacrifice, you are talking about a live goat without any chain on its neck. You understand? Nothing tied in down. And he saw knife, he saw dagger, he saw everything. You understand? And he's been staying on that same spot. You could have walked away or just look here and there, what is going on here? You guys want to plan for me? You understand? And you just plan another school for them. Praise the Lord. Before you know, you enter to the house, you come back. You understand? You're not going to meet him there again. God said, see, when you really understand me, you are going to stand on that altar. Glory to God. He said, it's called the altar of obedience. You understand? You are doing it in obedience unto God. Your brain is correct. Glory to God. You know what you are doing. Your senses are there, actually, telling you that God, this is it. Glory to God. Don't go. Don't kill yourself. This is suicidal. It can't be God. All of those things are still there. Yes, but it's God that is behind this in my life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You should prepare yourself to God as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable and acceptable service. In other words, allow God to use you for his purpose. Allow God to have his way through your life. Be a vessel through which his mercy will reach other people. You know, most times God allows to let go of something. Every time I remember the story of the widow woman who was left with the last meal that was sufficient just for her and her children to eat and then die. Then, you know, there's an interruption from somewhere. Somebody knocked at the door of their house and he said, well, God said to me that you should go and bake some bread for me. No firewood, nothing. Said, then what he said, just let me hit for bed. We'll talk about what happened to your children. He said, and this is what God said. How are you going to obey that kind of, you know, strange instruction? If you are not there, glory to God. That's why I always believe that, you know, God is always calling us so that he can kill us. Hallelujah. God is saying, come and die. The Bible says, those who serve the Lord this way shall be honored by the Lord. Those who serve the Lord by being obedient, you know, unto death, even the death on the cross, which is something that looks shameful. Following the Lord outside of the camp, you understand? Following God to pay glory to God in the sight of men. Because when Jesus was being humbled, he said, "Probably it's a failure. Look at him. He called himself. He can't do his helpless now. He can't do anything for himself. Look at him now." And all of those, you know, even when that we face mockery from the world, you understand? But we are standing in that position of authority. Listen to me. That is one way we raise the rod of authority in the spirit against the adversary. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "And not to be terrified by your adversary." He said, "This to you will be a token of salvation and a sign of partition for your adversary." Every time you refuse to give grant, to seek your own personal and selfish interest, you rather seek in the glory of God, you understand? You are releasing authority in the spirit. You are releasing power in the spirit. The attribute of God is flowing through your life. Listen to me. Without such obedience, you understand, there is no way we can come into the vine. Glory to God. Because you cannot come into the vine without those dirty things. You've got to be cleansed. You understand? You've got to be grafted into the vine. You've got to die to the life that is sometimes. It's not going to be you and him that is going together. It's going to be the life of God flowing through your life. You are just going to be grafted in as a channel through which God reach out to other people and bless them. He said, hearing your Father in heaven, you know, hearing your Father in heaven is being glorified when you bring forth food and your food abides. So God is bringing us into the vine today so that his life can find expression through us. So that we can be more sensitive to feelings and to feelings in our life. So that we can feel what is feeling. God wants to bring us closer to himself. But see, every time God is trying to remove those things that separate us from him, so that he can draw us closer unto himself, you understand? We always resist because we do not have clear understanding of God's intention for our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. And a lot of misconception of the truth of God's word, you understand, have really, you know, made a choice to degenerate to the level of rebel. You understand? They are God's children, but they are rebels. They are going to resist every move by the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. But I believe God is bringing us to a place of authority in the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen and amen. I love something about David. While he was talking about, you know, when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. You understand? Saul was looking for his head everywhere. He was looking for him. He wanted to really finish the guy. You understand? And, you know, the moment he caught David, I mean, he caught Saul. It cut his garment, you understand? It removed his sword, removed every other thing. Those guys that were following David said, "Well, the wicked man is greater for a day like this. And your hand have really cut your enemy today." And he said, "I will not touch the Lord and all this." And the moment Saul woke up to that reality, you know what he said to David? He said, "David," he said, "I know you are more mature than me. You carry your voice." He said, "The kingdom belongs to people like you." Glory to God. Who has all the right and all the, because see, Samuel, if he had killed Samuel, you know, there's no lockup. You understand that could have arrested him because Saul was actually looking for his head. It could have been just one. The enemy said, "Well, I'm just so smart." Praise the name of the Lord. But when it is in your power to do that thing that is evil against another person, and you die in your own reasoning, and you reason along with God and say, "You are how to preserve life and not to destroy life." He said, "You are more mature." He said, I hand over the kingdom to you today. In other words, it was a proof to him that this one, if this one becomes a ruler in Israel, if he becomes a king in Israel, this one will not destroy life, he will preserve life. Praise the Lord. That's what I call authority in the spirit. So all the people that are parading themselves, you understand, as You know, men that have title in the ecclesiastical order, you understand, and they're using it to harass people, to intimidate other people. They're using their title to intimidate people, to defraud the church, you understand. They don't have any authority. Glory to God. Paul said, "I've been to prison several times." You know, he said, "I have the right to take money." He said, "But I've worked with my own hands." He has the authority. Glory to God. He said, "But all these false stars who come to dupe you, who come to slap you in the face," he said, "you are more open-handed to them because they just harass you with their false glamour. They harass you with everything because we have misrepresented God to the people. You understand? And there's a false position that is built into the minds of men that when you see this caliber of people, that these are men of authority. That's why you're going to see people today, they are rushing to them. They're going to say, he's a man of authority. Look at the crowd. Hey, look at his dress. Look at his car. Look at his investment. Look at the church size. Oh, look at the cathedral. Look at his connection. Look at all of those things." But we want to see the attributes of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm going to see who said they have the power to cast out devils. You understand? You know, in Nigeria, you know, there was a pastor sometimes ago that, you know, some of the members of the church offended him, you understand, or, you know, they crossed his path, you understand, and the guy literally poured petrol on them and punched them. Glory to God. He doesn't have that kind of patience. What do you call authority? When patience is released, you understand, that's authority. When you are able to accommodate, you understand, the weaknesses of others, that is authority in the spirit. You exercise an authority in the spirit. I'm asking God wants us to be men and women of spiritual authority. Glory to God. It's a place of dominion that God is bringing us. Let me just read, you know, a few scriptures, you know, today. It's just that we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in this class. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
He said, in the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, things in the heart and things under the head, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as I've always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. Walk out your salvation with trembling and fear. But I'm looking at the purpose of obedience, right? Because that's the truth. You know, there's this truth we are trying to build, you know, around, you know, that if this one registered in our heart, it will open us up to a life of continuous obedience to God. We said our motivation for a life of obedience should not be the hope of material gain, but the hope of eternal life. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The hope of eternal life, because something is at stake, the salvation of our soul, the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. What is that? You see, we obey God because of where we are going. We obey God because of the salvation of our soul. Because we have, there's a promised land ahead of us. That's the place God has promised to take us to. And that's why we obey. And you see, we are going to, that's what we saw in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, that so steps of obedience and progressive obedience as we are maturing in God, these are the things that will open the door and give us a glorious entrance into God's everlasting kingdom. Now, I'm not going to allow anything to stop me, because it takes a little bit of maturity to manage the affairs of life and not miss out on God's eternal blessing. Now, just imagine, Moses have been coming a long way, you understand? But when the children of Israel provoked him, what happened? He could not restrain himself, you understand? He could not handle the situation, you understand? He was provoked and he was angry with them, you understand? And he did a lot of things. You see, because after we walk with God, we don't walk on certain things in our life, you understand? We may eventually miss out on the best of God for our life. So, as God is taking us through life, through the path of life, you know, taking us through the process, you understand? We are constantly obeying God, even though it may be a very difficult process. Why? Because for you to learn patience, it may be difficult. You understand? You've got to learn to be patient. You've got to learn endurance. You've got to learn long-suffering. You've got to learn to love. Some of us today, we are still in the school of love. You understand? We've not yet, you understand? You know, put up with God when it comes to those things. I love people, but he says, what is the difference between you and the Gentiles? They love those that love them, and they hate those who hate them. He said, now you love those people that hate you. Praise them of the Lord. And to God, he said, you said everything right, but I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it's not favorable to me. We're not looking for something that is favorable for us. God is not telling us to do something that is comfortable, most times something that is painful, but we've got to go through the therapy of pain most of the time, you know, to give back to a new life. I've been saying, you see, there's a lot of women today who want to give back to a baby and they don't want to go through the pain. They want to go through the pain. They don't want to go through the natural course of life. You understand? There's a time when you come to a place of pain before bringing forth a child. Glory to God. The pain may be so severe, but you are giving back to something. What is important is that you fix your eyes on what God is making out of your life and not the present pain. Praise the name of the Lord. And when we learn, you know, this concept of God, you understand? It makes a life of continuous obedience to become more exciting and more interesting. Rather than you being intimidated, you understand? The devil is still fighting and intimidated. He's amazed, you understand? That, oh, what kind of a person is this? Look at this. You know, while everything was working against him, and yet he stood his ground and walking with God and walking in the plan and the purpose of God for his life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are doing this because of the salvation of our soul. Because that is something, you know, because God really has to win us. You understand? He has to win us from the breath. You understand? He's going to remove all the dirty things in our soul. He's going to remove all the cobwebs from our mind. God really has to wash us clean. And we've got to really allow him to wash us clean. Why? Because there is no unclean thing that we ever inherit the kingdom of God. So there are steps of obedience that God calls us to. Because most times you think God is going to come down to do these things for you. No, it's not going to come down so that he can help you put those things straight. But God will draw your attention to you. You say, oh boy, you know, pick that thing up, go and do this. Pick that thing up, it's not supposed to be there. So you have a choice. You say, Lord God, I'm enjoying it. And God says, you are not called here to enjoy, you are called to obey the law. Hallelujah. Because your obedience to God is what will really deal with the enemy in your soul and preserve you of his everlasting kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. Amen and amen. Yes. We're going to pick it up from there and next week by the special grace of God. But I believe one way or the other, God must have touched your heart tonight. You understand? You need to realize that, you know, God wants to move you into the place of authority in the spirit. Your obedience that God is talking about is not just, obedience in terms of regular attendance in church. It's not just in terms of your giving and, it's not just in terms of your philanthropic act. It's not just in terms of visitation, in terms of evangelism, but you obeying God in your own life, obedience unto death on the cross. You know, most times when we go on evangelism, there are people that hurt us, and we have vowed in our hearts that we will never let go of them. We will never release them. You understand? You have obedience unto God. You see a disobedient man trying to run errand for God. So God is more concerned about who you are, who is running errand, and not the kind of errand you are running. Praise the Lord. Who is that man? It's a disobedient type, but yet he's trying to serve God. Praise the Lord. I pray that our walk with God, you understand, you know, we'll be acceptable in his sight. And God will give us grace to stand perfect and complete
Amen.
In his will for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to you same time.
Amen.
Next week, Wednesday. God bless you. Shalom.
Hallelujah, beloved. How do you respond to the word of God this evening? Can you talk to God in your own way? Obedience is not in the activity, it's the degree of the death of the cross, the extent of our total submission to the character building of God by the workings of the Holy Spirit finding expression in our lives, so that having run the race, we're finished well and we're pleasing unto God. Having Christ as our ultimate Canaan land that we are going to share eternity with. And we speak to the Lord, Father, I lay down my life before you. I receive grace, abundance of grace, to walk progressively in the pathway of obedience unto you in the name of Jesus. Give me an understanding of the reason for obeying and walking according to your will. In the name of Jesus, let my spirit and my soul come in agreement with your word, that to be added with my faith will be virtue, knowledge, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive divine ability of God, who is at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I receive divine grace to be committed to this race of life, to walk in my allotted position in the name of Jesus without looking back. I have set my hands in the plow. I receive grace to press in and to go forward and to grow up, that I might grow tall in you, as my root is firmly established in Christ Jesus. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, enable me to learn obedience to the things that I suffer, even as you make me a model of a believer that I ought to be in you. It is written, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. By the integrity of your word, shed forth your light in every area of my life, the light of your word, Lord, that as I behold your word like in a mirror, that there is a transformation, there is a change that takes place in my spirit, in my soul, and my body, continually as I follow the pathway of obedience. For it is written, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. As you have made my body to be that living sacrifice that is willingly surrendered unto you, Lord, the good that is available to those who follow after you, who thirst after you, who buy the truth and sell it not, let it find expression in my life now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word that you have spoken to us through your servant tonight. Spirit of the living God, I ask that you will amplify this word in the life of every hearer, whether ministers from ministries, members from churches, new believers, and old and young men and women. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, even as we come into your presence, Lord, that you will cause every man to be accountable to what we have heard, Lord, in our practicing and in our doing of the word, that we will not be just hearers alone, we will be doers of the word of the living God. We will not just have the form of godliness, but we will have the power thereof, that we will walk in the authority of God invested in us, even through our total surrender, total obedience, and total submission to the mandate of God, to the blueprint of God for our every life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our God. Now unto you who has called us, every leader in this commission, to serve your purpose as we serve your people, unto you who has given us a privileged position to do your will, unto you, O God, we return the glory, we return the honor, we return the praise and all adoration in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up everyone that is sick in their body. Abiodun Oderu, Pastor Yemi Oladele, Akibukola, David, Anjayolua, Caroline, Sheya Turu, Sheya Shende. We lift up everyone that is connected to this commission, and Lord, everyone, Sarah, Corona, Tivana, we soak you in the blood of Jesus. By the sent word of God, we command your body to be responsive to wholeness, to wellness, and to total recovery. For Jesus was wounded for your transgression. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. He was bruised for your iniquities. By his stripes you are made whole. And it is written that he has taken away your infirmity and carried away all your griefs. Therefore, what Christ has taken in his body through the death on the cross, I decree and declare that it is not permitted to be harbored or tolerated in your body anymore, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, the strangers shall be afraid and they shall flee away from their hiding places, in the name of Jesus. Because your body is the temple of the living God, and infirmity or sickness that is sent to defile it, they are destroyed now in Jesus' name. Therefore, as we lay down our head to sleep tonight, we will hear the voice of the Lord behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Therefore, whether we're sleeping or waking, we receive divine instruction, divine direction, divine guidance, and divine grace that leads unto obedience to your word and walking in your ways, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, unto you is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or imagine, by the power of your spirit that is at work in us, unto you that perform to perfection everything that concerns us, unto you we yield and we raise our praises and we honor tonight because you are our God. You shall be our guide now and forevermore in Jesus' name. Thank you, our God, for we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.